Introduction: The Reality of ADHD. When someone remarks in an offhand way, "I think I have a bit of ADHD too," or "everyone is distracted at some point," or "being forgetful is commonplace," their comments, regardless of whether or not they are aware of it, are hurtful to those of us who have ADHD. Friends and acquaintances believe they are compassionate when they tell us they share our experiences and that they relate to the difficulties we have in life. However, when someone jokes about, trivializes, or even dismisses it altogether, they do not realize the harm they cause to someone with this perplexing, life-altering condition. If you do not have ADHD, it is too easy to misunderstand or underestimate its seriousness. Many people believe it does not exist, that it is just a phony diagnosis promoted by the healthcare and pharmaceutical industries. The reality is far different, as I hope my story shows. Even those with mild ADHD, like me, struggle with shame and guilt when we do not understand why we act in certain ways. Until our diagnosis, we do not have an explanation for why we say and do certain things, or why we did not do or say the things we should have. The effects of my ADHD were hard to explain to myself, let alone to my family and friends. How could anyone understand? Could they even relate to my calling a hotel in Boston to confirm a reservation I had made for my husband and me, only to be told by the hotel that they had no record of our reservation? I called the travel agency, and they told me I had 4 online accounts, which was true. I opened a new one every time I forgot my password. When they eventually found my reservation, I booked us for days we were not planning to be in Boston. All I could do was swallow my embarrassment, pay the $25 cancellation fee, and hustle to locate another hotel. That same week, I left my purse in a supermarket and did not realize it was missing until they called me. That evening, I planned to meet with Tacoma Wheelman's Cycling Club members. We were going to Vancouver Island for a 2-week trip and were meeting to review the final details. No one was there when I arrived at the meeting place with appetizers. I was at the right house, but on the wrong night. The following morning, I was to attend a training seminar that began at 9 a.m. While driving there, I glanced at the announcement and saw that the seminar started at 8:30 a.m. When I arrived late, I glanced at the announcement again and noticed that the event was scheduled for the previous Wednesday. I went to my office in a foul mood, determined to sort this out, and called the event organizers, who told me the event was still on. Surprise! After all, I had the right date. Their secretary had made a mistake in the announcement. Sometimes even neuronormal people make mistakes. I suppressed my annoyance and in my sweetest voice said, "I am so relieved to learn that I haven't missed the meeting. Thank you so much." I then madly drove back to the seminar. Maybe my dreadful week was turning a corner. After reading these stories, you may not believe that my ADHD is mild, yet you can see that it is bad enough. I say my ADHD is mild because I have no comorbid conditions. I grew up in a home environment with expectations and structure which helped me to be moderately successful. About 25% of people with ADHD have no comorbid condition, while 50% or more have depression and/or anxiety in addition to their ADHD, particularly if their diagnosis is delayed. I wasn't diagnosed and treated for ADHD until I was 49. I graduated from college and graduate school, had a career in social work, was married and the mother of 3 sons. There were areas of my life where I performed poorly, but believed that was just my personality. It never occurred to me that anything was unusual about how my brain worked until I received my diagnosis. In writing this book, I want to provide readers with an understanding of what ADHD is and how it affects a person's life. I want you, my reader, to develop empathy for those with ADHD who struggle to fit in, rarely believing they do or will. I want parents concerned about their children to learn that life with ADHD can provide many joys and satisfactions. Most of all, I want people with ADHD to realize they are not alone. that they should not feel stigmatized by their condition, and that there are ways to not only cope, but to thrive and to be content. Like some people with ADHD, I was sad when officially told I had this disorder. I was ashamed that there was something wrong with me, and bewildered that I had not known years earlier. I grieved about the difficulties and losses I suffered because of my undiagnosed condition. It took years to accept myself as a valuable person who, incidentally, has inattentive ADHD. After accepting my diagnosis and understanding how it affected my behavior, I worked hard to reduce its negative impact. What helped was to tell myself repeatedly, getting a diagnosis for inattentive ADHD changes nothing. Everything in your life is the same. Nothing is worse, except now you have a name for it and are getting help. Being diagnosed and treated for my inattentive ADHD improves my life. Hiding from it or denying it exists does not help. Medication made an enormous difference in how I performed. Once I started on medication, countless issues that had challenged me no longer did, or at least not to the same degree. However, other improvements did not happen quickly. The medication immediately improved my life, but it took additional years to learn new behaviors and habits. It took years to build self-confidence and self-esteem based on the improved me. Slowly, I became happy that I had been diagnosed. My sadness and self-consciousness disappeared, and as my performance improved, I recognized the positives of having ADHD. While I will never be ADHD-free, I have made it an unimportant factor in my life and rarely think about having it. I wrote this book with several goals in mind. First, to describe problems in my life that are ADHD-related. Second, to explain the strategies and tactics I employed to improve my life. And finally, to describe the positives of having ADHD. I want readers to understand that while there are challenges with this disorder, there is more to life than having a disorder. As I describe my minor problems, you might say, "Well, I've done that too," or "That sounds like me." All the behaviors associated with an ADHD diagnosis are behaviors that others have. What distinguishes someone with ADHD is the frequency and degree of those behaviors and their impact on a person's life. These behaviors exist on a continuum from rare and infrequent to often and even daily. Unfortunately, many people do not realize they have ADHD, and few clinicians automatically screen for it in their patients. When I give talks on ADHD, I want to shed light on how serious the disorder can be. I explain in general terms that the desirable things in life, graduating from college, having steady employment, earning an adequate income, and having an enduring and committed marriage, are less likely to be achieved by those with undiagnosed ADHD. The negative things in life, poor educational achievement, spotty employment, poor physical health, low income, alcoholism and other addictions, criminal records, and marital infidelity and divorce are more likely. Medication would have helped me greatly years ago. Both medication and structure are instrumental in living a full and satisfying life with ADHD. When we are young, hopefully, our parents provide the structure we need. But as we get older, we need to create and maintain the structure for ourselves or delegate this task to someone else. Maintaining structure and discipline as I sit at a chronically cluttered desk is a continuing challenge, but medication and creating routines and habits have helped enormously. I cannot stress the importance of an early diagnosis enough. Unfortunately, the media and knowledgeable people say ADHD is overdiagnosed, even though many ADHD professionals believe this is not the case. Most ADHD clinicians believe underdiagnosing ADHD is more concerning than overdiagnosing it. We know that children with inattentive ADHD continue to be underdiagnosed. adults with inattentive ADHD are often misdiagnosed with depression or anxiety and do not get the help they need. Children diagnosed with ADHD usually have one or both parents with ADHD as well. Because an increasing number of clinicians have knowledge of ADHD in children, more parents discover their ADHD after learning about their child's ADHD. The fact that adults have ADHD is not new, but it is newly recognized. I hope this book makes clear what ADHD is and how profoundly it affects a person's physical, mental, and emotional well-being. I also hope it is a celebration of the resilience and fortitude of those with this disorder, and a testament to our power to take charge of our lives and succeed with this condition. ADHD is part of my life, but it does not define my life. My message about ADHD is profoundly optimistic. In the face of significant challenges, we can live satisfying lives. I know this is true for you and your loved ones, whether you have ADHD or know someone who does. Join me on this journey of learning, discovery, and healing. Cynthia Hammer, MSW, Seattle, Washington, March 1st, 2023.